this morning for the Lord's Day, for what it means that we have the privilege to gather in the name of Christ to learn more about your word, about you, about your will for our lives. Bless this Sunday school hour and the worship service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, it's good to be here today. I heard a preacher say one time he'd rather be here, be at church in the best-kept cemetery in all the county. It's good to be on our feet, isn't it? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I look back over my life. One of the first little courses that I learned to sing when I was in my dad's church in the Sunday school hour was the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. And folks, I've been standing on it for 79 years. I've been saved that long. I know I don't look that old, but if you got it, tell me. Flaunt it. You got it. Okay. I've been preaching it for 72 years. And I'm glad today that we have the book preserved for us in our own life. Have you stopped lately to thank God for the millions of people who were martyred because of their faith in the Word of God, their stand for the Word of God? I'm telling you, we take a lot of things for granted. I'm praying every day in my devotional time that God will raise up some people, some more people, we have some more people to become translators of the Word of God so people around the world can hear and read this book in their own language. I hope you will join me in that prayer. And I believe God will answer that prayer. One of the most important things you can have in your schedule daily is a time to read and meditate upon the Word of God. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful book. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if I lined up somewhere out here on the street, I'm excluding you folks because I know every one of you read and study the Bible hours every day. But I'm talking about just the average Christian out here. And I said to them, why do you not read the Bible? Well, I just don't have time to read it. Well, I've got a solution to that problem. Unplug the television. Shut down the computer. Hang up the phone. Park the car. Dock the boat. Put up the golf clubs. You'll have plenty of time to read and study and meditate. You have no excuse, my friend. All of our flimsy excuses are not going to stand before God when we stand there. I'm happy that we can have the Bible to study today. Now, the only way, I'm bold enough to say this, the only way you're going to learn God's will and God's way and God's purpose for your life is to find it in the Word of God. You're not going to get those things by visions and dreams in the night. I've told you many times. Let me tell you one more time. If you're having visions in the night, you ate too much pizza before you went to bed. God has spoken. His word is final. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We accept it for what it is and as it is. I heard a preacher say one time, I don't remember who it was, it may have been me, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. You want to know what God's thinking about? You have to look in the book. Open your Bible now, by the way, to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Isaiah is known as a prophet of redemption, the messianic prophet. He wrote so much about the Messiah. If you want a good topic to study, just get in the book of Isaiah and find out all the passages that he wrote about Jesus Christ. It might surprise you how many. What a study that would be. Now, God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, and he says the same thing to us today. You see, the Bible is not just for them yesterday. The Bible is for us today and tomorrow and for eternity. When the last chapter of time is closed in the book of time on earth and the first chapter of eternity is opened in heaven, the Bible will still be the living word of the living God. The Bible is eternal. God said to Joshua and to us in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, now watch this next word, meditate. You know what it is to meditate? It means to think, to get deeply into something. Meditate therein once in a while. No. It says day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. If you want to be prosperous and have good success, meditate in the Word of God. If that's not true, we'll close our Bibles. We'll all go fishing or golfing today. I believe that's true. I believe every word in the book is true. And I'm happy today that we can depend upon it. By the way, be careful how you read and why you read the Word of God. Sir Walter Scott said, within this ample volume lies a mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. By the way, could I get personal again? Why do you read the Word of God? I'm happy today that we have a reason for reading it. And I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and verse 11 before we begin our lesson. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please. The Bible is not going to accomplish what you and I please, but what God pleases. It will accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jeremiah said in chapter 15 at verse 16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I suggest that you eat it, you digest it, you assimilate it into your spiritual being that you may grow thereby. Many Christians are stunted in their spiritual growth because they spend very little time in the book of God Now the lesson is entitled, God's Word in Today's World. By the way, the Bible is the bestseller of all times. It is already ahead of the next bestseller off the press. You can't get any higher or better or plainer or more helpful than the book of God. This is God's Word. Every word is true. And God is preserving it for us. Now I'm going to ask and answer three questions in this lesson. Question number one, where did our Bible come from? Question number two, what does the Bible do for us? Question number three, what should we do with the Bible? I hope you got those three questions down. As time permits, I will try to cover them. Question number one, where did our Bible come from? The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed every word of this book. More than 700,000 words, God breathed every word, all Scripture. Not a spot here and a spot there. Who's going to tell which spot is right? That's the Dalmatian theory of inspiration. No, no, no. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Every word, every thought, every syllable, every letter, every verse, every chapter, every book, inspired of God. Psalm 119, verse 160, the psalmist said, thy word is true from the beginning, and it remains true all the way through to the end, to the very last verse in the Revelation. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh, all the glory of man is nothing. It's like grass that withereth and the flower that falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. What does forever mean? It means forever. Jeremiah 1:9, God said to Jeremiah, please don't miss this, I have put my words in thy mouth. How much plainer can we be? What is it about that we don't understand? God said, I put my words in thy mouth. So Jeremiah comes along and he gives us his book, The Weeping Prophet. Far too many eyes are dry these days. And I want you to know that busy hands are no excuse for unbended knees. We need to stay on our knees a while till our hearts are broken. Till we can weep. Weep over the lost. Weep over people who have ignored the Word of God or turned their backs on the Word of God, forgotten the Word of God, tried to replace the Word with something else. You cannot replace this Word. It's final, it's eternal, it's God's Word. It isn't man's Word, it's the Word of God. Now, not only has God given us His Word through inspiration, remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not only has He given it to us, but He's preserved it. Inspiration without preservation is absolutely meaningless. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know the word seven is the word for perfection. It's the final. You can't go any higher than that as you deal with things of the Scripture. Seven times it's been purified. That means it's really, really, totally purified and cannot be improved upon. And by the way, there is no getting beyond and above the Word of God. It's the last word. The Word of God is higher and better and more alive than any other book in all the world. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. I love to quote Jesus. You know that. The greatest authority the world has ever known. He said in Mark 13 at verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Voltaire, the French philosopher and noted agnostic, said, 100 years from now, there will be no Bibles. I have gone through the forest, he said, and cut down all the trees. Ironically, the very spot where he uttered those blasphemous words is today a distribution center from which the Bible is sent to most parts of the world. Amen. And here's something you want to know. On a day in 1932, that's a great year. I was born in that year. If you want to know, it's August 12th, 1932. Make a note of that. I'm just kidding. But on a day in 1932, they gathered all of Voltaire's works together for sale. And they sold for the astronomical number of 23 cents. Did you get that? All of his works, 23 cents. On the same day, one manuscript of the Word of God sold the British Museum for $500,000. What a book! It outbooks all the other books. There's no substitute for the Word of God. That brings me to question number two. What does the Bible do for us? I'm going to give you three things that it does. Number one, it serves as our infallible authority. This book, the Bible, is the only book on this planet that God has unreservedly, unhesitatingly, unequivocally dedicated himself to honor, to uphold, to defend, and to preserve. No other books has God set that honor, uphold, defend, and preserve. I say it serves as our infallible authority. Listen to what Paul wrote. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul wrote, when ye received the word of God, what you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. Don't miss this. But as it is in truth, the word of God. I'm holding in my hand the Word of God. It doesn't need to be rewritten or re-edited. It needs to be reread. May God help us to get in the book and stay in the book. That's our source of life in the Christian world. The second thing that the Bible does for us, it serves as the deed of our inheritance. And what an inheritance we have. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to, watch it, and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. An inheritance among all the people that are sanctified. Romans 8:17, I love what Paul said. Ye are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means everything that Jesus has, we have a part of it. joint heirs. Everything that belongs to him belongs to us. And you know what? Everything belongs to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Listen, folks, we're rich. Let's don't go around poor mouthing. We're serving the God of the universe who owns it all. So we can be glad that we have the deed of our inheritance from the Word of God. The third thing, it serves as wisdom for our salvation. Let me repeat it. It serves as wisdom for our salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. I love this. I think about it in my own life. And probably you do too, many of you. Here's what Paul wrote to young Timothy, his son in the ministry. And that from a child. Somebody says, well, the children are just, they can't memorize. They don't know how. Wait a minute, they memorize all the ball players. They can tell you the scores for most games, by the way. They memorize the Hollywood stars. They remember all the golf players. They can tell you about all the race cars. Why can't they tell you about the Bible? And from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Please don't miss this. Which are able to make you wise unto salvation. If you want to know the way to God, you've got to find it in the book. You're not going to find it in some almanac somewhere. You can't find it in any other book or place but this very book that I'm talking to you about this morning. You find the way to God. You find the will of God, the work of God, just in the book. He said, and it didn't start with Timothy. It started with his grandmother. You grandmothers, listen. I believe you have an obligation unto God to teach your children the Word of God. That's what he said. I found this faith first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Lois must have taught Eunice. And now is abiding in you. Grandmother, mother, son, all the way down the generation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every church member took that to heart? Grandparents taught their children, and their children taught their children, and their children taught their children, and just keep on till Jesus comes. By the way, keep looking up. He's coming soon. That brings me to question number three. What should we do with the Bible? We've learned something about where it came from and what it does for us. Now, what should we do with the Bible? I say in the first place, we should hear it confidently. Romans 10:17. You know that verse. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. How shall they believe? Except they hear. And how shall they hear if they don't have a preacher? And how shall the preacher preach unless he's sent? You know why we send missionaries to the ends of the earth? To take this blessed book. Because they're not going to hear without a preacher. And they're not going to preach except they're sent. Thank God for a missionary heart church like Worth Baptist Church. Almost $1 million last year. Isn't that wonderful? My soul. The second thing that we're to do with the Bible, we're to hide it internally. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 at verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. D.L. Moody, who shook two continents for Christ, never was ordained, never went to a Bible school, but over 100 million people came to know Christ in his ministry. He personally led 250,000 people to Christ. You know what he said about this? Moody said, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Are you getting the idea, folks, that we ought to meditate in the Word of God every day? And I tell you this, if you don't set aside a time to do it, you're not going to do it. There's no way, unless you fit into your schedule, you may have to leave off something else. As I said a while ago about unplugging the television and shutting down the computer and all that, you will find some time. Put it in your schedule to meditate, not just to read, but like you would read the newspaper, fables, tales or something. Read it and study it and meditate upon it. Because if you don't, you're likely to fall into sin. The third thing, not only hear it confidently, Romans 10:17, hide it internally, Psalm 119, verse 11, but heed it earnestly. Heed it earnestly. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. I love this verse. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. You've heard. Listen, you've sat in these pews and heard the Word of God for years. Some of you for 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, 25 years, 10 weeks, 1 week. You've heard it. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. The devil will make it easy for you to let the Word of God slip out of your mind and slip out of your heart and slip out of your life. So give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. Now I'm going to conclude with this. That's a word you've been looking for, isn't it? Conclusion. The only way to do these things that I've pointed out to you in answering these three questions is to study the Bible consistently. And you know this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now you will never be able to sit down with a book in your lap and explain it to somebody else unless you have first studied it. You can't rightly divide what you haven't taken in to your heart and soul and mind. Here's a good formula for Bible study if you're looking for one. I think I gave it to you before. I'm getting kind of old now and I don't know what I've done, what I haven't done. But most of you didn't hear it the first time anyhow. So I'm going to give it to you again. Here's your formula for studying the Bible. Read it through. Take it in. Write it down. Work it out. And pass it on. What a formula that is. Let me give it to you again. Some of you missed it. Read it through. Take it in. Write it down. Work it out. And pass it on. And you've heard me say this before, but I think it bears repeating. When all other books have become obsolete, the Bible will remain absolute. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with a truth eternal and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I'll plant my feet on its firm foundation. For the Bible stands. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Bible, the book of all books. We can search all the books in the library and never come up with what we find in this one volume, this one book we call the Bible. May we hide it in our hearts. May we eat it and digest it and assimilate it into our spiritual being that we may grow thereby. Now bless the hour to come. In Jesus' name and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen.